Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Father, we give you praise and we honor you. We thank you because there's absolutely no one like you. Thank you for answers to our prayers and for the help that you send. Accept our thanksgiving in Jesus' name. This morning, open our ears that we'll hear correctly, and our heart that we will understand. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big, big hand. Amen. Please be seated. Last week was a bit disruptive. What I want to do today is to help you gather it. Is that okay? Are you ready for that now? So I'm teaching you on this subject, leverage on God's grace, leverage. All right, still the same thing, but a different direction to it. Now, one of the things we're able to do last week was to examine our criticalities. All right, if we are left on our own to face life for what it is. Do you understand that? We practically stand no chance. That's the way it is. Because, and I see, I've seen people badge at some of the things I'm teaching. I don't read comments. Unfortunately, some comes as notification. So you see them. Personally, I don't read comments. I don't go search for all those things. Once, and that's the unfortunate thing for those who badge me, because I won't read it. Okay? So I can have peace of mind. But you see, people talk from their level. Do you understand that? If we examine our lives, the flow of our lives, one of the shocking revelations you will have is that the devil began attacking your potential first. The devil doesn't attack anything from the season of its maturity. It begins attack when it is a seed. The decision to kill the males in Egypt was not because Moses was born. It was before Moses was born. The decision to kill the infants in Jerusalem, in Israel, was not because Jesus was an adult. It was when he was a child. He likes to stop things before they manifest their full potentials. And because the devil is a strategic being, the least of his activity is to kill. He likes to destroy things and keep it existing. Okay? Let me explain. If you are going to destroy something when it's already mature, to destroy the marriage of a person, you wait for the person to get married, then come in. But if you're going to operate, the devil will operate. It takes two wrong people to have wrong marriage. It's going to destroy it before they even meet each other. Can I explain that a bit further? Do you understand what I mean? All you have to do is to enter with a bad mentality. Somebody can believe that for women to keep quiet, you have to slap them once in a while. It's a thought process. True? And he might even have the record of how his dad slapped his mom. I said, when my dad is... Have you seen people who remove belt and tell their partner, sit down there? You see? I said, when my dad is talking to my mom, she sits down. Who do you think you are? Newsflash, she's not your mom. And you see, it takes a wrong mentality. I'm going somewhere. If you copy and paste this method in your life, you will discover that some of the challenges you are facing now, the attack on that aspect of your life began before you even became mature. Such that your growth process was that you have to outgrow. You were outgrowing more than you were growing into. You understand what I'm saying? Let me explain. For you to get to where God is taking you to, you will have to grow out of more than you're actually growing into. Because if you grow into certain things without growing out of certain things, there's going to be chaos. Are you following what I'm saying here? You have to grow out of certain mentality. You have to grow. So it means that bulk of your life is about unlearning. If it's that serious, because you learned many things too fast and they were bad. Okay? Do you understand? And they were bad. So, life in itself, without the system of the contribution and help that comes from God, the hordes are stacked against us. Talk about family. Talk about education. Talk about upbringing. Many things. There are few exceptional cases, maybe of people who were privileged to be raised by people who had prophetic discernment of their lives and raised them in abundance. It was either they taught you so much respect that they taught you out of your esteem. Or they taught you so much about yourself that you now don't have respect. That now, when you look at your life, you live your life apologetically. You apologize for everything. You apologize for succeeding. Are you following what I'm saying? It's a wrong way to raise a child. One of the ways you know that you have been taught out of your esteem is that you apologize for almost everything. Sorry, sir. So good to see you, sir. You see, the first sorry, sir, that is coming is not politeness. I don't want to get into this. Let me not. It's not politeness. Watch out. I don't say for people, but for yourself. When you begin most statement with sorry, it's actually a reflection of what is going on inside. You feel people are doing you a favor by relating with you. All right, let me not get too much into that. So what I'm saying is that there's got to be a system that is better than the things we have found. And the only way that can happen is this system must come from an intelligence that knows the future more than you know the past. Do you understand what I'm saying? This system must come from a wisdom that has proven to have worked again. Some of you are firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn. It will be rare for there to be someone, maybe is a 20th child or 15th child. That house will be a complete football team with bench and coach. Some of your elder brothers have become coaches or assistant coach. Some have become referees. You don't even know where you are anymore. Whether on the bench or on the pitch. Whichever one. What I'm trying to say is that the mind that raised you was not that experienced. Some of you were experimental. Okay, sorry. We have to be disruptive to build. I'm not trying to talk it down. I'm just trying to let you. So, for instance, let me give you an instance. So, when we had our daughter, I had the mentality that a girl gravitates more towards the dad. She does that now. But I was depressed for the first few months. My daughter doesn't want me to carry her at all. She hated my bed. Omo, I can't cut this. This is what I used to get your mama. If I carry her and the beard touch her, she will scream and just drop me down. One time I was leaving the house for a retreat. Just, hey, let me just carry my daughter. Are you doing before? She screamed. I left the house saying, what is this? So, I wasn't experienced. I thought it was going to be automatic that once it's a girl, you have to. I didn't know that you'll have to pursue her and win her heart. Even as a child, all these girls, it's long. They've been doing this thing long. So I told my wife, this issue is giving me concerns. And my wife said to me, there are certain things that you have to start doing also. I said, give me an example. Said, well, when we are bathing for her, you have to be around. I said, okay. And when she has messed up her pampas, you have to be ready to change. Interesting. So I had to start. It was not like I was too, because some of you are ready to skin me now and say, so you are not doing all those things. Actually, I was not. Just so you know. Oh, yes, I was not. I was not. I don't know why. But I was not. I was really not. Okay? I don't advise that. Though. You can lose your child from the beginning. So I have to start learning. Change pampers. I watch a number of YouTube videos in the middle of the night. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Change pampers. And all that. So I start learning. What I was doing before was unproven wisdom. And unfortunately, many continued with that. And they saw that, the firstborn didn't turn out the way they thought it, that wisdom would work. So they changed it on the secondborn. It didn't turn out. Okay, then the thirdborn, okay. Like, this one is getting a bit better. Then they pour all the compassion of the evil done to the rest on the lastborn. So that one now look like it's a different set of parents that raised him or her. You see the way they are doing, you wonder if I conk, you know. They now change. Suddenly they are not shouting anymore. This guy will do some strange things. They'll say, it's just your brother. Things that if you have done, the way they will press conk on your head. But most times, not all those things were revisited. You were, sometimes for the sake of ego, you were allowed to move on with certain things, even when they were wrong. And unfortunately, many will have to do life with it. Okay. Do you understand what I'm saying? For instance, growing up, my father swore in the house, nobody in my house will step their feet into Christ's embassy. No, you cannot write. Nobody in my house, any child that I give birth to, will step their feet into redeem. Newsflash, I became a pastor in redeem. Okay? They did not change all these things, even when they repented. That's why I beg you, don't just follow people, follow the upgraded version. Okay? So many of the things we needed to learn for ministry were in this place they say we should not follow. I think the worst in my house was winners. Anybody that I gave birth to that listened to Oedipo, that child is finished, that child. That was where we learned church structure from. That was where we learned excellence from, discipline from. If we move with these things you are saying, we will not become profitable for you. And you are not going to revisit it because of your ego. The only way our life can stand a chance is that somewhere along the line, God interrupts us and give us disruptive thinking. We have to now look like rebels to become profitable for you too and for God. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. I remember when my dad came to our church, he called me on phone. He said, my God. You know, my dad used to wonder, how do I preach? He used to wonder, you are a pastor. People are following you. I don't used to talk. It's ministry that make me talk. I'm always locked up. See, one time he looked at me, he's been thinking. So he said, let me even ask you, how do you preach? Is it that you just stand and look at them and they'll be saying, It means many parents don't even know their own children. They don't. Every other person knows the children or the child except the parent. And they try to lead the child based on their own incomplete understanding. I'm going somewhere of that child. My dad came. He said, my God. He said, I have never in my life stepped to a place like your church. I laugh. I said, wow, thank God. He said, I've never seen young people like that who loves God. You know, the church we grew up from, once pastors start preaching, you see all the young boys start coming out. We that were in choir stand, I don't know what I was doing there. Because there are pastors that once you see them with Bible on Sunday, you will know that there's a collaboration to punish you because sleep will fight your destiny. And it now became so intentional. I can mimic very well, but I don't want to give an example. It doesn't sound like your pastor, you know, but I mean, the things they were saying were not relevant to the generation of the people they were pastoring. So they thought those boys didn't like God. Meanwhile, they have wrong leaders who didn't give room for youth to rise. My church became gerontocratic. A system run by the old for the people. That leadership is every 4 years. You know how political it will be? More than Nigeria. That when a GO is there for 4 years, another one is waiting, die quickly. Or cross, so they will not even put you there until you are close to 69, 68. So that before you even finish your 4 years, they retire you. Then everybody now begin to stay in the camp. If you try to say that you have something different as a young man, they will sniff you out. Bishop Oedipo is a product of my childhood church. Reverend Jolaya is a product of my childhood church. Chris Delvan is a product of my childhood church. So you can know that men have risen. But the men have to get out to rise. That's how bad a system can become. Oh, yes. So I ministered for them at their 50th anniversary as a church. And I was in the GO's office with my wife. They were so like, say, we are proud of you. See, you make us proud. I said, if I had remained here, you would never be proud of me. Because this is me, your system does not have a leverage for this kind to emerge. And there are better who cannot emerge because of the corrupt system. There are family systems that great children can't rise from. They have to run out. Take it from me. You have to love the house, but you have to be from afar. Because the mentality will corrupt everything looking like greatness. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There are things they told me about women that before you marry, make sure women, you don't do this with a woman. Women are speaking from their own pain. Your pain is not my experience. It's unique to you. If I run with that, it will corrupt what God has started. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm telling you is that what you took as wisdom then was a product of some one person's pain. It is not wisdom. It is regret. So if those things are the things you bank on to become all that God needs you to be, there's already chaos. It's going to be trouble. You will not emerge. You know. They said, your church, you people are very, very. He said, after service, nobody wants to go. People are around. They just love God. I smiled. And I said to myself, this was what we were building when you said I should leave for UK. This won't exist if I've obeyed. I would have loved to explain, children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, listen. Obedience is only obedience if the person you are obeying is aligned. I want to say certain things, but I don't want to cause problem. Because the truth is that I don't even know, so that you don't go and take it beyond measure. Somebody will just finish service now and people and call the dad. Nobody calls me. That's not what I'm teaching you. But let's just, I mean, many girls that said, you can never marry a pastor. So most of them are pastor's children. The mother married a pastor who did not break through. And the assumption was that all pastors would be like that. Or a pastor who neglected his family, didn't take care of his children, wouldn't model God correctly to them. And then it became a template. You can marry a pastor. My daughter would like to marry a pastor. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. By the time I'm done with her, she will say, I want to marry a pastor. In fact, if a guy comes and his name is Femi, he will say, well, you stand a better chance. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, what I'm trying to teach you is that stop being cultural. You have to be open for a new leverage system. If we bank on those things alone, we are finished. Many of us will not be. Okay, let me ask you. How many of you will be where you are now if you have obeyed all those instructions? Even my wife, Pastor Mimi, you had to disobey. Yeah, oh, yes. Even when you came to our church, it was an act of disobedience. But it was a struggle. Oh, yes. Can you see that now? That there are structures built against what God has for you. And you have to fight it to ever emerge. I'm trying to lay a foundation. So as I begin to teach, you will understand what I'm teaching from. Okay? Good. Let me share a story with you. While we're on campus, there's this boy. I didn't show up with foodstuffs at first, and many things, the gas and all those things students should bring. I just went with money. So I met some people on ground, were cooking, and were doing all those stuffs. So I give money, they buy the stuffs, we eat together. Then finally I brought food stuff. Then all of us sat on it and then we ate it and finished it. And one of them had to travel home. Then he brought food stuff. from the moment the car parked, the look on his face towards me was a look of, if they burn you, well, come close. And I am very intuitive. I read the room, I understood what he was saying, and I avoided that. I read his body language. So they had, but what they didn't know was that I had much more supplies when it comes to the finance. So I just marked him as the kind of person that he was. One time I wanted to cook using a stove, so I mistakenly poured groundnut oil because they were in the same container inside the stove instead of kerosene, you see. So it couldn't burn. I had a guest, one of my friends was coming from Kano. He was trying to do something around. So I quickly borrowed his stove, then poured my original kerosene inside, used it to make food. As he came, he shouted, "Who is using my stove? This is it." He carried both the stove and the food. I was going to church, so he ate everything and dropped the pot outside. So God spoke to me not to argue with him. So I just understood this kind of person. But I had another friend in that hostel who happened to be an Afar, who is a very gracious person. But I mark that this person's, something is wrong with his mindset, his upbringing. He doesn't act like there's a future. So that's my other friend who happened to be an Afar. We were talking last year or 2 years ago. He has his own private polytechnic now and his own private college of education. So he's going to be with us here. He's still an Afar, but he's going to be here next month. All right? He follows me to worship. I have tried to win his soul several times. So, you know, sometimes the most difficult person to win is your friend. Just try to explain to him. He will laugh. He will say, "But pastor, I know you are a good pastor. You are not like every other person." They say, "But you see, this thing you are talking about is..." Till tomorrow, I'm still struggling for his soul. You see. So he called me and he said, "This person is with him in his organization." I said, "Babs, send this boy away. He will kill you. Without baiting an eye, he will kill you. If he had the opportunity, he will. He's a dangerous boy." He said, "Well, you know, this life, you have to give people opportunity and all that. Send this boy away." So he called me yesterday morning after PPC. And we're gisting and gisting. Then he said to me, he said, you warned me. He said, "But I didn't listen." I said, "Yes." He said, "I had to finally send the boy away. The boy took his name, the wife and the children to an herbalist that they should kill them, so he can hone the institutions." And when they got there, the herbalist heard the name and said, "Can I get a picture of this person?" Saw the picture and remember that this person has helped him before. So he recorded all the conversation out that they should make sure he died through an accident on his trip. The wife that was heavily pregnant should die during delivery, and the 5-year-old son should also die. And he was saying all that. Are you seeing that now? And while, so the person recorded the conversation, then forwarded it to that my friend and said, "Be careful with this person." So he got him arrested and then they wrote statement to finally send him away. And the guy is now back to poverty. When people think they can get it through life with cutting corners, shutting others down, they don't understand the most powerful leverage, and that's God. Nobody rises by pulling others down, sir. It is the one that God gives that receives. Do you understand what I'm saying? Nobody rises by cutting others and shutting others. No. I want you to say it loud and clear. God is the lifter of men. Say it again louder and clearer. Say it in a better way. He's the one who lifts men. And let me say this to you. God is able to not just lift you, is able to keep you lifted and is able to defend you in that lifted state. Is that okay now? So God is not trying to lift you then cut short your life or leave you in the hands of people that will mess up your life. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, some people have developed phobia for greatness because they feel greatness attracts problem. But the one who gives it in the first place is able to protect and preserve you. I said he's able to protect and preserve you. So people begin to play small and wait for a time that they feel safe. No. As long as he has given it to you, he's able to preserve you. He's able to keep you. He's able to protect you from unreasonable men. The Bible calls on men unreasonable men. Say it loud and clear, God is able to keep me. He's able to raise me and is able to keep me. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now, please listen. I'm going somewhere. And all this build up is for us to get there. Now, let me show you a scripture. Let me show you a scripture that is going to bless you. The book of Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Now look at it. Let me jump to Let's go to verse 7. Deuteronomy chapter number 8 from verse 7. Look at it. It said, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Say amen to that. Amen. A land of brooks of water, fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranate. A land of olive and honey. Who brings you there? God. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, and thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron, and out of whose hills thou mayest digget brass. When thou hast eaten and thou art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he giveth thee. Beware that you forget not the Lord your God in not keeping his commandment and his judgment and his statutes which he commands you this day. Lest when you have eaten and you are full and you have built good houses and dwell therein, and when your herds and flock multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then your heart be lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the land of bondage. Now, look at this. Are you seeing that all the good things, all the powerful things that is happening to your life, the reference was made to God? It is God who brings you into a good land. It's the one who brought you out of the land of bondage. It's the one who brought you out of the land of slavery. It's the one who brought you out of the, who brings you to a place of brooks, to a place of water, to a place of pomegranate, to a place of olive, to a place where all those things are. But let's jump a bit to verse 18. Okay, let's continue in verse 17 or verse 16. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which you and your fathers know nothing about, I may humble you and prove you, all right, to do you good at the later end. Verse 17 says, and you say in your heart, my power and my might, all right, and might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. It means what you are about to get, it is not according to your strength or your intelligence. God is the giver. Do you understand that? God. See, there are things that only God can give. I'm going to debunk some myths today. But look at verse 18. He said, but you shall remember the Lord your God. Continue from there. For it is he that give you power to get. Say it now. It is he that gives you power to get. Say it again. Now, listen to this. It is error for any minister to say that God does not help anybody succeed. It's error. It's a dangerous statement. And then when people say those statements, they now say that Mark Zuckerberg Did he succeed with God? Was it God that made him a success? Is a Buddhist? What about Elon Musk? Is it God? It means you are making the primary mistake people make when defining success. And what is that common error in defining success? The common error is that people define success by the presence of what they were once deprived of. What did I say? People try to define success by the presence of what they were once deprived of. So scarcely will you see an African define success out of money. Because that's what you were once deprived of. So we define success as traveling abroad because you've been deprived of a good environment and a good government. You define success as when you get a good car because you've trekked for long. But does God help people succeed? He does. To say no to that is to miss a vital mark. So let's say statement in context. And that's why you must be planted in the Bible believing and the Bible teaching church. So you don't make certain mistakes. He said it is God that gives you power to get wealth. Every other systems are proven to have failed several times over. The only system that has not failed, has no track record of failure, is God and His grace. So how does God give us power to get wealth? How does God empower us to succeed in life? So I say, God does not help us succeed. All right, let me show you a scripture. Joshua chapter number 1, verse 8. Joshua 1:8. Quickly. Turn your Bibles there quickly. Joshua 1:8. Joshua chapter number 1, verse 8. I want us to read it together. If you are there, please say amen. Are you sure you're there? All right. 1, 2, 3, go. But then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Amen. How do you get good success? When you meditate, when you observe, to do according to all that is written in God's word. He said there is a... First, it will make your way prosperous. You see, when you say God does not make people successful, you are saying... Okay, are you saying He makes people fail? We are making the same old mistake, extreme. I had a vision overnight. I saw a preacher who has caused many chaos in the body of Christ. I saw him instructing his media team to do something, to pull down certain messages of his from media. And he called those messages error. And I saw the angel of the Lord standing beside me. And he said, this is the reason why he's still being preserved. Once he pulls them down, we will call him home. He believes that what he's saying now is the truth. So they should pull down the old one. See, that's the reason why we are still living in. I said this for the record. I know I have to intercede for him, but I'm saying it for the record. People are going to be in trouble. You see, you don't build the body of Christ with opinion. It's a dangerous thing to do. You don't throw words around. Are you following what I'm saying here? You say, God, we don't come to church to succeed. Do we come to church to fail? Every principles that necessitate success in life, in marriage, in destiny, they are included in God's word. One time they were saying, we don't preach any other message. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And people who were genuinely called to marriage ministry lost it. Some were called to raise leaders, lost it. They became confused. What kind of doctrine do you believe that takes your assignment from you? And many of them are nowhere to be found right now. And one of them who was a chief propagator of that thing, Christ! And now he's saying something opposite. And their leader denied all of them. They will lead mob attack against pastors. Now they now attend the conferences of those pastors. I told those fulham, I say, be stable. Noise will always go down. Always go down. Many things going on right now. See, one of the reasons why I am immovable is because of the knowledge of church history. I had sat down with it when God says, sit down with it. So I have discovered that there's nothing happening now that has not happened before. Gosh. When I choose my response to life and the event in the body of Christ, it is because there's a pattern I've seen in times of the past. Okay, let me leave that. Even Peter had to ask Jesus, said, see, we have left everything and followed you. What is our reward? Jesus is, that's Jesus. He didn't say, Jesus, you are carnal. No. Peter was married though. He's a family man who wakes up every day to say he's following one savior. The children will go to school. They will cook. We don't know their numbers. He will not have his reward. See, not only in this world, but even in the world to come. You see, he gave him an answer that shows that God is concerned with your material needs. I told you at the phase in my life, I went on a retreat. I was crying because of shoe. It just occurred to me. Why will you send me an assignment? I say, the shoe of the gospel. Blessed is the feet of those. And this, my shoe is not good. I had questions. What kind of thing are we doing, God? Help me now. Even if it's a process that will pass through, I'm getting tired. Do you know you can talk to God that, no, even if this is a process, come and help your son, help your daughter. Yes, sir. You don't go and form Superman for God, and that's how you crash. Oh, yes. Sometimes you're in a relationship, you look at the person and say, oh, no, Joe, help me. Yes, so. You don't, okay, no problem. I know you are an idol, so there's no problem. So, you do what you want to do, so. Oh, yes. Okay. You see, pray genuine prayers. I've shared this one time, years back, a sister, part of the executives, I said, God, I just find myself going on to go to check her pictures. I don't know what's happening. Everybody sees me as a principled president, but something is wrong. When this sister is not in church, I know they preach well. She has become my motivation. God, help me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I brought it. Have that relationship with God. Something that God already knows. You are like Adam. Cover yourself with fig leaves. Say, how will I say this to God? Something that he has seen. Waiting for you to come. You know the way God answered that prayer? It just showed me in a vision, the sister in another couple of years. If you have sense, you know what to do. It was that simple. Do you understand? It just one vision. Like play. Just that night, just saw the vision. And that I woke everything of feelings. Vanished. When I see the sister now, I keep thanking God. The one who answers by fire. Let me share that experience with you. One time. And why did I even have many relationship problems? It's because of fear. Where I was coming from, things were bad. And I did so. I was trying in the energy of the flesh not to repeat history. Meanwhile, that's not how not to do it. That fear will even bring you into what you're afraid of. Oh, yes. My fear was leading me to corrosive places. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hazardous relationship. Huh? There's this word I'm trying to remember.
bizarre
relationships. Many of them, it was me in my mind, dating the person in my mind. So some of them didn't even actually happen, but in my mind, I was there. Then it died in my mind again then. You understand what I'm saying? I don't make moves quickly. So some of this thing is my mind. One time we went to pray. I went on 3 days dry. God, what is your opinion, this sister? I was crying 4 a.m. in one old church beside my house. For Makande Rokoshede. My friend, a big friend like that. If you hear when they call somebody Kutulu in Hausa, you know what? My Kato, my big friend. So it was snoring. He slept there. He said he wanted to do VG. That's how he would say he wanted to do. He would sleep off and snore throughout the night. But we allow, you see, you don't wake him when he's sleeping during prayers. Because his sleep is very advantageous for you. I'm telling you. I've never seen that kind of person. You are happy when he's sleeping. He will wake up with a solution. Precise. Accurate. He was like our torchlight. We need him to sleep. Precise. I'm still wondering what kind of gifts is that. I'm telling you, precise visions. So he was snoring. And somehow I was angry. We'll pray together. I mean, fasting. See what you are doing. So he woke up. I saw him looking at me. He was looking at me. So I wrap up. I said, what's happening? He said he was sleeping. Then he had a vision that an elderly man came in. That he didn't even know I was here. That he saw it in the vision. The man stood there and looked at me. And the man shook his head and left. So he said he ran after the man to say, we've been praying for 3 days now. Please help us. This sister, this. The man said, if only your fathers have followed me to know my ways, you will not have this struggle. But however, tell him, the girl is a good girl, but a bad woman. I've never heard that before. Precise. Economical sleep. This thing, if you have it, you have it. Not that you are seeing balu. If you have it, yes. Now, listen. I told that story to tell you this. One of the ways God helps us prosper in different aspects of our lives is through his instructions. His clear instructions. Not assumptions. Clear instructions. You will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Somebody is talking to you about investment. You notice you are losing your peace as the person talk. Run. Because you're about to lose your bank account too. Oh yes. About to lose your money. Instructions contained in the word. Rema. Words from the Lord. God plants opportunities around us for us to maximize. He will not say it in black and white. He plants opportunities. Listen to this. Check the pattern of God's operation from the beginning. He never gave any finished product except food and water. The rest, you will have to make something out of it. He didn't give chairs, he gave trees. He didn't give gold, they were buried under the rock. He didn't give glass, there was sand. Many of the things that we talk about, POP, invention, plastic, to think that something like this was actually from a tree. So it means God blesses us with potentials. So if you look at God's operation from this standpoint, it means that the relationship, the people, the access, and all those things that God has planted around you, they are potentials of something than today. Don't trash them because of temporary emotions. Don't trash them. Potentials. Relationships. Access to people. And get what I'm saying.
The person God has even given you access to. Because we don't call it access if you're at the same level. But still call it access because you don't know the future. And that person can be the person that will hold your hands and talk to you, or talk about you before kings. Who would have thought that the way for Joseph to come out of prison was in the prison? Who would have thought that the way for him to be rescued had the same problem with him? And you see what happened when Joseph tried to use his human sense to say, when he brings you out, remember, the guy forgot him. It is until God remembers you that you are remembered. All the effort to cut corners would all rest. Tell your neighbor, rest. Tell your neighbor, rest. See, you can't search successfully for only what God gives. You can't. Rest. So God gives you relationships. He gives you access. He gives you information. He allows you access to information from the word. You call it revelation knowledge. Okay? That if you pay attention to it, your life will transform. These are the leverage system of God's grace. Nothing around you is ordinary. Nothing around you is useless. They may not yield their full potentials now, but they carry it on their inside. God is too strategic, is too wise to plant nonsense around you. So you've got to see it. And you've got to develop capacity and systems that helps you compartmentalize relationships. And see people for the potential they represent, not for what they are now. It will shock you how that the hand of God lifts men suddenly. Okay? Sometimes you hear certain information, you feel they are not useful because you have not reached the level where they are needed. As you mature, you need them, then they open the door for you. Some of the things I teach now, we are having a master class coming up with certification. Some years back, I used to look at those who teach such as unserious. You know, there's something about this apostolic movement. It's about fire! Hey, fire without wisdom will burn you. That's why your boss will say that, you know, Mojo, and he told her that this fire does not even recognize the one who started it. It can burn. The people see pastor who are not shouting, they say he doesn't have fire. You don't know what you're talking about. I was in a meeting where Reverend Sam Adeyemi was ministering. And by the time he was done preaching, he said, now I'm going to pray for you. Please be seated. And he prayed less than 1 minute prayer. I was there. By the you see that meeting, I was even wondering, who plans a meeting like this? How will you ask Reverend Sam to come and minister after Apostle Selman? I like. But that day, I became humbled. That this thing is not a noise. By the time he was done praying 1 minute prayer, 90% of the audience were scattered. Power! Power surge! It's not noise. If you have it, you have it. Amen. Listen. Listen and listen good. Listen. It is ingratitude to ignore what God has planted around you because you can't see the seed yet. Nurture it. Value it. Study the word. Pay attention to the information. One of the information is if you seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, all other things will be added. That's a powerful information. If you care enough to dig on it, you'll find treasures of life. But see, let me round up with this. Sometimes people come to ask you, sir, please tell us. I've heard your messages. I've heard this, I've heard that. What is the secret? What is? People are always looking for more secrets that is apart from the obvious. Meanwhile, they ignore the obvious. And that's where the power is. How consistent are you at the things that we should do daily? Read your Bible every day. Pray. You can't, you at least you can't do these two things and be powerless. But they don't believe that that's it. They say, ah, there must be something more. So maybe you now tell them that usually when I want to pray, I pray around 3 a.m. I put my head on the ground, my legs on the wall. Say, yes! And they go to, they pepper the head to come and kill them there. They say, ah, apostle has killed somebody. God has planted them, sir. Leverage on them. He's planted opportunities. And somehow, the devil is ministering corruption. And one of the corruption he has ministered is that you, when you give to God, God doesn't give back. It's a lie of the devil. Solomon gave an offering. It touched God. This is not law. God felt honored and said, ask me. They say, it does Mark Zuckerberg give tithes? But what are you talking? Are those the standard for believers? How have we fallen this low? And unfortunately, listen to what I'm saying. People sit down in church and pretend like they are listening. Meanwhile, those junks have filled their heart. And there is a need for excavation. Because now they are... See, listen, even when you listen to error for fun, error is not leaving you. Error is not something you listen to for fun. There are things you flee from. Because they are anti-grace. Pay attention to where God... Are you following what I'm saying? I can tell you this for free. I have observed the major breakthroughs we have had in church came during sacrificial givings. So how can you tell me it doesn't work? God gave me personal instruction. And I'm not trying to make my experience a doctrine. But when he said give, it shall be given back to you. Press down. Say, it's not giving. Okay, what is it? Is Arabic. Or Quran. What are you talking about? I noticed that financial blessings is largely a product of obedience. God gives instruction that does not make sense. If I run you through my life system, you will wonder, how do you even have? How do you manage to have? But because when you come to that point where there is little you can do, then there is much more God can do. Because he wants to do things that only him will take credit for. You will not be able to boast about it. You will not be able to say, I did this, all right, by my own strength. Say, blessed are you when you are at the end of your rope, for with less of you, there is more of him and of his rule. And I make bold to insist, God still blesses. God still instructs. God still prospers. God still let people succeed. Doesn't fail people. He helps them succeed. Praise God. Lift your hands and say, I leverage on God's grace, on God's wisdom, on instructions, on relationships, and the things God has planted around me. I choose to leverage up there on them. I will not despise any of these things in the name of Jesus. I leverage on the vital force of grace that flows from God. Now, look up. Stand up, everybody. Let me tell you this. Look up. Don't forget the principal word in this topic is the leverage. And listen, when the leverage system is at work, it defies background. Many of us don't look like the background we came out of. Because something just takes you up as you complete a cycle. I see God disrupting the usual and the familiar. Get it? Listen. I'm prophesying to you. God is shifting the familiar, and you are entering into a season where it is a more blessed season. But listen, in that season, you'll feel like it's worse because it is actually a disruption on the pattern, the structure that you have built that can only achieve little. So it will bring you out of it and shake you, bring you to the end of your knowledge. You become humble. Now when you speak, you can boast as one who is intelligent or smart. You boast on the written word, which is proven to have worked again and again. What I'm saying is I'm about to enter into a success that will look like failure. And that failure is not failure. It is actually success. All right? It's going to be a disruption on your plans, on your ideas, on the things you have drafted and say, I plan this for this and that and that. And then God is going to come and he will shake them and establish his own protocol. I sense that strongly, that there is a season upon us and things are opening up and there will be a shaking. And then he's going to test you, try your faith to see whether you trust him or not. One of the most difficult things for God to establish in his children's heart is trust. Because one of the first instincts you develop as a child is the instinct to save yourself. And you grow up maturing and nurturing that instinct. When you try to leave a baby, they grab your hands. They're already used to trying to survive. But God is going to destroy that instinct. And that's what it means to enter into rest. When people sleep and you carry them like you want to throw them from a cliff, they don't struggle because they are asleep. You will not have to grab onto poles. You will leave yourself in his hands. And that eye is going to help you. You have been trying to hold things for long, but now it's time to hold him. The author and the finisher of your faith. It's time to submit yourself into his rest. Listen. Don't consider those who seem to have gone ahead of you. The day God's hand comes upon a man, he overtakes. It is not about first to do, it's about that grace that preserves men. So stop trying to catch up. Follow God. This is a very prophetic moment. Don't try to catch up. After school, God told me to stay back and pray and study. And that went on for 2 years. It was a very painful season because my life was everything not so nice. It felt like I was failing. And I was talking to friends. They are sending pictures online and they are posting themselves in different organizations and things were fine. You see, now a few times we get into conversations and they are asking me, how did you do it? Because what a man has gone to pursue in the energy of the flesh can come on the bill of obedience. One of the major things the devil is trying to use against you in this season is comparison. Comparing themselves with themselves, they become fools. Wait for God's timing and method. It will save you. And listen, the waiting season is a season where you will learn that you are not waiting for that thing. You are actually waiting for a process to be completed in you. And you will know that you are getting it right when that thing you are waiting for is no longer a priority. As long as that thing is a priority, you are cheating. You know, when you go to the gym, so maybe sometimes you want to have a program. Maybe you want to build your chest or your biceps. And then they say, carry it. The instructor says, no. It is form over numbers. That is, say, this is the form. You incline your back. They say, bend. Incline your back. And then say, you do your hand like this. Take it inside, outside. He said, because if you do it the way you want to do it, you can do 100. But it's not achieving the real deal. But if you get the form right, you may do 5. It achieves more. It is alignment over result. Align. Nobody follows God and come back with shame. What did I say? Nobody! Be patient. And that's why I tell our pastors, you are not in the days of manifestation yet. You are in the days of learning. When God is taking this ministry to align, just keep trying to get the form. Hunger for righteousness. That's why we don't play two. That's why I still do boy up and down. Once I'm done here, I'm in another place. Walking again. You must understand that. You must understand. I see God bringing you into rest. I see rest. Relax your mind. Let the one who has started finish what he started. Let the one who formed you when you were in your mother's womb, let him plant you into the life he has crafted out for you. Submit yourself under the hands of the Lord and he will lead you in due time. Incline your heart to wisdom. Rest on his promises and his grace. Rest. Find rest. If you have handed your life to God, rest. If you have handed your finance, your marriage, your education, your traveling to him, rest. 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 And I decree that there is multiplied grace and revelation of the Spirit. I ask that your eyes be enlightened, that you know what to do in every situation. you will be able to maximize all that God intends from the things he has planted around you. You will not lose his plan because of agitation. And I declare blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday service.
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 22150052 89 UBA.